Got your Bible tonight, turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. I've been stuck here for a few times, a few weeks. 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 19, Sunday morning. And opened up with 1 Kings chapter 18. So much, folks, in 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19 for us right in here with this man named Elijah.
Amen.
If you ain't been to church but twice in your whole life, just been around people that went to church, everybody knows certain names in the Bible, don't
yeah.
they? Like Elijah and Moses and Paul and John. And I tell you what, there's so much in here that we can get and glean from in our life. 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. The Bible said, in Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. There's there again, isn't it? Gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I think Elijah might have a little hillbilly in him, don't you? Fetch me, he said. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste,
amen,
and neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according, there's this, to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And I told you Sunday morning, I've been kind of stuck in my Bible reading and different places, but I landed here in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19, reading through your scriptures, and I was in Nehemiah, dwelt in Nehemiah, and God helped me there and showed me some things there. When the time's right, and the when God wants some things preached out of there, then He'll move me to preach out of there. But you need to be in your Bible every day, folks,
amen,
studying and reading and getting some kind of devotion in the Word of God in your life. But 1 Kings 17, we see Elijah coming on the scene right here, and we looked and we said Sunday as I preached about God took him here, Brother Jason Burke, down here by this brook, Cherith. He went out and came out on the scene very fast. And he went to Ahab the king, and no doubt God had filled him with great boldness and great courage to go before King Ahab. Said, now, King, it's going to not rain, or neither dew is going to fall in this land for 3.5 years. And not even dew fell down there. And no rain fell. That took some guts.
Yeah.
But he went down there because the Lord had told him. And then I told you about that 1 Kings 19, how he got to a place, listen, where he spiritually quarantined himself, where he isolated himself from everybody else. This is a man, listen, that done great mighty works for the Lord. Two people, dear people, have never died that ever lived. And one of them is this man right here. He's not going to see death. God's going to come and get him with a chariot of fire. And Enoch never died. But here this man is, Brother Glenn. He's got perfect peace down there where he's at. He's got the presence of Almighty God with him right there. But here I just read to you a few words that we read our Bibles and we look over many, many times. And it's that little word there. There. When he's there. What are you saying, preacher? He's right smack dab middle in the very will of God for his life. And this is the number one question that I often get from people. Is, preacher, I want to know what is the will of God for my life. I want to know what I'm supposed to be doing for God. I want to know what am I supposed to be doing in my life. I believe the Bible lays it out real clearly. When you study and read your Bible, you find biblical principles. Brother Goble, all through the scriptures. And God won't violate that. But you see these patterns going over and over and over. And God's trying to teach you and I something right here. Elijah was right in the middle of the will of God for his life. Hey, listen, you know what we do sometimes to find out the will of God? It's just like that fellow went on a diet. And he got down there by the donut shop. And he said, Lord, if it be your will, give me a parking place right on the front door right there. And he drove around about 15 times, Brother Randall, until a parking place was there. He said, this has got to be the will of God. And he pulls right in there. Listen, we do that, don't we, sometimes? It's like that woman one time. She was tossing up sticks. She was at a fork in the road. Brother, she was tossing up sticks. And she would go the way that the stick would land. If the stick landed going down this road, why, she'd go down that road. If it landed on the other road, why, she'd go down that road. And somebody passed by, and she just kept throwing it up and it landed. I kept throwing it up and landed. And they said, what are you doing? I'm throwing it up. She said, I'm going to keep throwing it up till it goes down that road, because it looks a whole lot smoother than that road. That road looks a lot rougher. That road looks a lot worse than to be on. I'd rather be on that smooth road. Boy, listen, what's God doing with Elijah right here? He's not putting him on a smooth road. So many times we see a God take Elijah, and the first thing that comes to your mind is him standing there on Mount Carmel with all them prophets of Baal and calling down fire down from heaven. But Brother Jamie, God's got to get him ready right here. And God's getting him ready, Brother Glenn, in 1 Kings 17. And that's the same thing with our life and my life. God's got to get us to the place to see if he can trust us before he can use us out here. God's got to get us to the place to see if we'll be obedient, to see if we'll do what he says to do. And that's what God's doing right here with Elijah. Hey, he went down and did that thing with Ahab. Then God said, go hide yourself now down by the brook, Cherith. He's right in the middle of God's will for his life. You say, preacher, how do I know God's will for my life? Listen to me. God's will for your life and God's will for my life always starts with the scriptures right here. It always starts with the very word of God. God is bound by his word. The Bible said God holds his very word above his own name. And God will never ask you to do something or put you in a direction that violates his very word. He'll not do that, folks. And God's will always lines up with God's word every single time. If you say, well, God, I believe God's pushed me in this direction, or God's pushed me in that direction, if it lines up with his word, he may be. But it'll always line up with his word. When you study the life of Elijah, you know what you find out? About 13 times I counted, and it may be more than this, you find that phrase, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Boy, listen to me. About 13 different times the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came to Gideon, didn't it? Behind the wine press. The word of the Lord word came to Abraham. It came to Isaac. It came to Jacob. It came to Paul. And God's will, dear people, always starts with the Scriptures. God's will always starts with the very Word of God. And the devil wants to get us off a track somewhere and violate the Word of God. And violate what God's Word says. What'd he do right there with Eve? Right off the bat, he appealed to his emotions. It's a dangerous thing, folks, to make a decision and go in a certain direction for God based on emotions or based on a feeling. Brother, you can get a feeling getting out of the shower. You can get a feeling at a ball game.
Amen.
That's why God gives us his word right here. So we'll have something in front of us here that we can look at and say, that don't line up with the word of God. Then it's not in the will of God. I've heard of foolishness, and you have too, about a preacher who said God told him to leave his wife and get with this woman. That's the devil. How did God tell him that? God's never going to tell you to do something like that. That's foolishness. And that goes against the word of God. And 13 different times in this man's life, God's speaking to him. He's hearing. He's being sensitive and listening for the very word of God. And God's will for your life and God's will for my life always starts right with the word of God.
That's right. Amen.
The children of Israel had the word of God, didn't they, Brother Glenn? And God said, go in and possess the land, didn't he? He said, go in and possess it. And they sent spies down there. 10 of them come back with a bad report. And they said, it don't matter if 12 come back with a bad report.
Right.
What did God's word say? God's word said, go possess the land. But they went, brother, on their feelings. They went on what they saw and said, we can't do it. And because of that, they died there in the wilderness.
Right.
How many people tonight, listen to me, are dying out there, saved by the grace of God, saved on the way to heaven, are going to die in the wilderness and not get into the place that God has for them in their life because they will not do what God's word says.
Amen.
Won't do it. There's a man one time was a preacher, and he used to love going to talk to this cobbler. You know what a cobbler is, boys? It's a shoemaker. Back in England, they made shoes. They worked on shoes. This old cobbler wasn't an educated man. But he knew the Bible and he knew the Word of God. And he loved God, Brother Randall, and he was faithful to church. And this preacher, young preacher, loved going down there and talking to this cobbler. And the cobbler knew a whole lot about God's words. Well, one day, a big scholar in town, a big scholar, Brother Bubby, the Scriptures come in town, and he said, "Where do you talk to who about God's word about?" He said, "There's a cobbler down in town." He said, "He don't have no education." He said, "But he loves God. He knows God's word. He prays." He said, "That's who I love spending time with, talking about God's word." That old scholar of the Bible, so to say, he said, "Let me go down there and talk to him." So he goes down to that cobbler. He said, "I don't know what I'll do. I'll start talking about the Book of Exodus." Chapter 28. You know them chapters where it talks about the tabernacle? All them curtains we went through in Sunday school. All them loops and all that stuff. He said, "I'll get in there and start talking to him about that stuff." So he gets down there at that cobbler and he says this. He says, "Old cobbler, do you know what the Urim and the Thummim is?" He said, "Well, I've read that in the Bible." He said, "That's what the high priest wore on his chest."
Right.
He said, "And it means lights and protection." He said, "Well, do you know how God spoke to that man through that Urim and Thummim on his chest?" And that cobbler said, "No, I don't know that, dear sir." He said, "That's very deep for me." And he said, "I got him right there." That old scholar said, "I got him right there." And that old cobbler was working on a shoe. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do, though." He said, "I'll just take a letter out of them two words." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I just use thumbing and using." He said, "God speaks to me when I do a little bit of thumbing and a little bit of using." Amen. And God will speak to you, dear people.
Amen.
If you'll do a little bit of thumbing and a little bit of using,
amen,
God will speak to you through his word. He'll give you light in your life if you're getting his word.
Amen.
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 That's the way God spoke to this widow woman, too. So you got two people in this story right here. You got Elijah, who's in the very will of God for his life. And you got a widow woman, who's in the very will of God in her life. And God's going to use the same principles for both these dear people to show you and I something. And it's found all the way through the Scripture that God always starts with his word.
Amen.
What else? You know what else he does? Watch this. We miss stuff like this. God told Elijah, Brother Jamie, to go down there and see Ahab. He went and seen Ahab. When he got done with Ahab, God said, now go down and hide yourself down by the brook Cherith. Well, you saw that preacher. He didn't tell him nothing about Zarephath. He didn't tell him nothing about Mount Carmel. He said, listen, Adam, I want you to go down there by Cherith and just hide yourself. He didn't tell him nothing else. He said, I've got some ravens down there that's going to bring you bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Now, if that been me and you, we'd have said, ain't no way. Yeah. I've got a bunch of old crows. It's going to bring me something to eat. And we're in a drought. And you're telling me go down by some water. It's going to dry up. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible said Elijah did. Yeah. What are you talking about, preacher? About the will of God. God always starts with the scriptures. And God always goes by seasons or times. God just don't show us everything at one time. God goes his timing. Listen, time means nothing with an almighty God, but timing is everything with God. And God said, now I want you to go there. Now I want you to go there. You know what we'd have been? And the Bible said that when the brook dried up, then he told him to go 100 miles, brother, to Zarephath. Now listen, if it'd been me or you, we'd been wringing our hands, wouldn't we? Lord, this brook's getting ready to dry up. Lord, what are you going to do, Lord? God wasn't speaking to him. His orders was to stay right there. And listen, we'd have been down there wringing our hands, saying, oh Lord. And then the Bible said the brook dried up. Honey, we'd been digging for water. We'd been running and leaving, wouldn't we? Hey, listen to me. You need to stay and I need to stay. Because God's timing is perfect. And the Bible said when the brook dried up, then God told Elijah, go to Zarephath. He didn't question it. It's 100 miles in a drought. Hey, listen, in a pair of sandals across the desert. Could you imagine how that felt? Brother, he just did what God told him to do. And God said, when you get there, I've got a widow woman down there that I have already been working on that end. And I've commanded her to feed you. Now, can you see that widow woman down there? She got her last meal out in her oil. And she said, Lord, I know you told me that you're going to send a man of God down here. I'm down to one bit short of you wouldn't send him right now. Well, wouldn't you know it, brother, how God's timing is. Right when she was down to the last batch. Well, that's when here old Elijah shows up. That's the timing of God. That's the way the Lord works. And we got to do things on his timing and his seasons. Amen. His seasons. Are you listening to me tonight? God starts, Brother Bubby, with his word. And then God goes on seasons or certain times. He'll take you in certain places, brother, and work on you there. And let me tell you how it works. God saved me. He didn't put me out there pasturing the next day. He saved me and he put me somewhere to learn. And then he called me to preach. And then he used me here and there and through life and gaining experience in different places in my life. God builds you that way. And you go from faith to faith in different seasons in your life. Where you're at, you know what you need to do. You just need to park and say, Lord, I'm right here. I'm your servant. It's going to be dry sometimes, but I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay in the very will of God until you say move, God, to the next appointment, until you say do what I need to do. Oh, how many people, listen, have messed up in their life because they got ahead of God. Oh, listen to me. Or missed it when God was calling them and God was urging them to do something. You know, something, you don't even get saved when you want to get saved. That's even in the timing of Almighty God. It's not God's will that any should die and go to hell. It's God's will that everybody should be saved and go to heaven. But it's got to be on God's timing and God's way. We don't come on our way. We come on God's way. And God said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will, Cameron, that you be saved. It's God's will that your friends be saved and your family be saved. But we can't do it until we move on God's time. That'll be God's timing and way. Remember when you was lost, God would move on you in different seasons of your life. God would begin to dwell. God would begin to convict you about something at different seasons, and then it would go, wouldn't it? And then God would move on you in a different season and go, that's the way God moves. To see if you're going to be obedient. And to see if you're going to answer that call. Hey, listen. And how does he do it? He always did it by his word, brother. He told Elijah to tell that woman to go fetch me something. Who said something to her? The man of God said something to her that God said to him. That's how this thing works. And how many people have messed up so much in their life because they don't have a daily walk with God? They're not in a devotion in no way. They're not reading their Bible. That's why we say be faithful to church. Because how many times could you testify when you come in these doors and you had something going on? You might have had to go two or three Sundays, but somebody got up and preached something, maybe one word, or maybe something in the book, that God's book, come to your mind and helped you, and God spoke to you through his word. That's why it's so important, Noble, that we be faithful and that we be where we're supposed to be. Because in due season and in due time, if we're obedient, God will speak to us through his word. The Bible says in Titus that God has manifested his word through what? Preaching. That's how God's manifested his word. How many people miss that season in their life? How many people miss that season, that timing of God's time? Because they fail to be where they need to be. Because they fail to be hearing God's word. Because they fail to be in God's word. And you know what? Listen to me. And I'm not putting down nobody. But you know what 2020 churches, you know what in 2020 what churches have become for the most part? Hey, listen, we get together in churches and we'll sing for an hour and 30 minutes. Hey, listen to me. And then the preacher will get up and shotgun around and talk about glory. And meanwhile, somebody sitting there and their home's falling apart. Somebody sitting there on drugs. Somebody sitting there don't know how they're going to pay a bill. Somebody sitting there getting ready to quit. Hey, listen, them songs are great and they're good, but we're begotten and helped by the word of the living God. And you got to have God's word nourishing in your soul and giving you direction in your life.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
How many times it been missed, God's will be missed. I tell people this, if you're really battling with something, struggling with something, if you'll be faithful in your daily walk with God, God will speak to you through his word. Either in your daily reading, your daily devotion, in your prayer life, in church, God will speak to you. God will use somebody with his word to help you and give you direction and to help you in your life. How many people, listen, could have prevented, Brother Glenn, such great disasters, such great mess ups in their life had they only been in their spot and heard a message and let God speak to them down their heart and let God minister to them through their word of the living God? Because that's what helps us. And it's a biblical principle. It ain't going to change, folks. God's been doing it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And take you a Bible character. Take any of them and look. In David. And listen, in Saul. In Paul and John. And look at them all. Gideon. All the judges. Look at them. You'll find this same principle over and over and over. Of the word of the Lord came to them at a certain season or time in their life. And they had a crossroads to get to one place or another and be obedient at that spot until God's word came again. Because God's doing something with this man in 1 Kings chapter 17 because he's going to use him in a mighty way in 1 Kings 18. But listen to me, God's not going to move him to Zarephath until he can be faithful in Cherith. Are you listening? You get this all the time, preacher? I'm going to be in God's will. Are you in God's will for your life today? Are you? Are you in God's will for your life today? Because you're not going to get God's will for your life tomorrow or a year from now unless you get God's will for your life right today. Amen? Amen. Like a poor boy used to come here. Bless his heart. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Bless his heart, he'd come in here one week, he didn't know if he was saved or not. The next week he'd come in here and be a missionary in a foreign country. I said, honey, are you in God's will today for your life? Hey, listen to me, won't you start right now doing what you're supposed to do right now? And you'll find out if you'll do what you're supposed to do one day at a time, then 10 years down the road you'll find yourself right smack dab in the middle of God's will in your life.
Amen.
Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. No, say step, Glenn. It says steps. That means one after the other, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. We take one foot in front of the other. But are you in God's will for your life today? Well, you're here. That's God's will for your life today. I know one thing.
Yep.
Church time, it's God's will for your life to be at church.
Amen.
Amen. Have you prayed? Have you done your daily devotions? Hey, listen, are you in God's will for your life today? That's something only you can answer. For yourself in your life. And if you don't get it right in Cherith, there'll be no Zarephath till you get it right in Cherith. And so many are stuck in Cherith, or they get down Zarephath and don't walk by faith and are obedient and get stuck down there. God's going to get us in one place. If we're not going to be obedient in one place, why would He move us to another place in our life? And we got to learn in our lives, folks, to listen to God and get obedient where God says to be obedient.
Amen.
He ain't going to move you nowhere. It's like a man says, "Preacher, I wish if I had $1 million, all my problems would be solved." You know what God says? Be faithful with $10.
Yeah.
If you'll be faithful with 10, He might give you 20.
Yeah.
If you'll be faithful with 20, He might give you 50. But if you can't be faithful with 10, why would He give you 50?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's the way God works, folks. Old pastor told me one time, Daniel Buchanan, said, "If God gives you 10 to pastor, be faithful with them 10 and pastor them right." Hey, listen, then He might give you 5 more, or He might just say your lot in life, it's just to pastor them 10, whatever it is. You say, "Yes, Lord, I'll be right where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, because that's where You want me to be." Hey, listen, no doubt he thought, "I'm at Cherith and it's drying up, I need to go somewhere else." But God wasn't speaking to him, so he wasn't going to move, because God's working something in this man's life.
Amen.
God speaks to you and shows His will through the Scriptures, don't He?
Yep.
God speaks to you through seasons, timing in your life, and segments, little spots here and there, little things here and there. Look at this widow woman right here. It's perfectly seen right in this little widow woman. Elijah came to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." He didn't say nothing about making him a cake.
No.
He didn't say nothing about getting no oil on the cruise and nothing else, did he? He just said, "Go get me a little water." And when she was obedient with a little water, then here comes the second segment for the will of God in her life. Then he said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Well, she was obedient with the water. Then he said, "Hey, while you're down there, honey, bring me a morsel of bread in my hand." That's the second part of God's will for her life. Then he gets on down there, and Elijah said unto her in verse 13, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son." God done commanded her she's going to feed a man of God. Hey, but probably wasn't on these terms in her mind, was it?
No.
And listen, when he said, "Hey, go down there and get me a drink of water," she could act like she couldn't have heard him. She should have said, "Look, don't you know, buddy, we're in a drought." Hey, listen to me. She's a widow woman. And that would have been perfectly fine, wouldn't it? That would have been excusable. Elijah would have no doubt thought, "Well, that's right. We are in a drought." But I don't believe God works that way. I believe God said, "Go over to that little widow woman picking up them sticks, them 2 sticks." And listen, he went over and said, "Hey, honey, go fetch me some water." And she obeyed and went. And then he goes to the second part. "Go get me a little bread. Go make me a little cake." That's the way God works. One little step at a time. That's how you learn. That's how you end up right in the middle of God's will for your life. Is take one step, do one thing at a time. And the next thing you know, 20 years down the road, you look back on your life and say, "How in the world did I end up here?" Because you did one little thing at a time. You was faithful over there with a little Sunday school class when you didn't have many over there, but you just went over there and did it. You was faithful when you just had a little old room in here, and we just came in here and did it. One little step at a time. You got saved and you had all this baggage that you was dragging behind you, and you said, "Lord, there's no way I can get all this baggage off of me." And God said, "Hey, just take one step at a time with me." And now you look back on your life and you say, "Wow, how God's using me. Because I just took one step at a time, one segment at a time, one fetch of a water, one morsel of bread at a time." And God's using him in a mighty way. And God's using her in a mighty way. Because they're right in the middle of God's will for their life.
Amen.
And just because it dries up sometimes, and just because the trials is tough sometimes, that don't mean it ain't God's will. Elijah's in a bad spot right here. And he goes from Cherith, 100 miles to Zarephath. And you know who the king of Zarephath is? Jezebel's daddy, who hates his guts. I mean, of all places, God, you send me here.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me. Just because you're in the will of God for your life don't mean there ain't going to be problems come your way. Don't mean there ain't going to be dried up sometimes. Don't mean you ain't going to get sick and down. Don't mean you ain't going to have financial problems. It don't mean you won't have issues in your life. You could be right smack dab in the middle of God's will, doing what God wants for you to do in your life, and experience all kinds of hardships and all kinds of trials and all kinds of issues. But that don't mean you're not in the middle of God's will for your life. As a matter of fact, if you read about somebody that got out of God's will for his life. I read about Jonah. Honey, it was smooth sailing, wasn't it? Somebody even paid his bus ticket. Paid his cruise ship to get him out there. Hey, the devil shuck out the money. The devil make a smooth road for a little while to get you out of God's will. Hey, listen to me. Because it's a whole lot harder to turn around and get back in God's will than when you left.
Amen.
Are you listening? You just ain't gonna turn around and come back. Once you got out of direction with God. And Elijah and this widow woman teach us about God's will for your life. God's going to use him in chapter 18 in a mighty, mighty way. And no doubt people's looking at him saying, man, what a man of God. But they don't know nothing about chapter 17.
No.
They don't know just what he come through.
That's good.
God can trust him in chapter 18 because God's tried him right here. God's proved him right here. God said, I can trust him. I can trust him right here. He was faithful and obedient to me when times was dry. He was faithful and obedient to me when it looked pretty bad. I can trust him over here in chapter 18.
Amen.
Amen. You want to be in God's will for your life? Where are you at right now? Are you in God's will for your life? That is something that only you can answer for yourself. I can't answer that for you. I have to answer that for me. Only you. Are you where you need to be with God? Are you where you're supposed to be with God? In your life, are you in the right spot where you're supposed to? Are you there? Look how many times. Dwell there. A woman there. Get thee there. Are you there with God? Are you at that place with God tonight? Let's stand tonight, if you will. Adam, get us a song. And I want to invite you tonight. If your altar's open, if you feel the need that you need to pray, hey, ask God. Show me, God. God, I'm in some murky waters right now. God, will you show me? Will you help me? Show me where I need to be at tonight.